probably something that a lot of golfers can relate to, is like they get short-term relief, or like, you know, they do something, whether it's a massage or, you know, whatever, they feel really good for maybe a couple days or a week or a round or two, but then it comes back. So how do you prevent it from coming back?
The more you are able to fix something in the swing that you do, and the more you swing with the new mechanics, the more it becomes yours. Those things over time, as you continue to put it in that position, create movement intersegmentally in every joint in your body in the direction and maximizing that range of motion, that becomes normal.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Welcome to the studio, Dr. Hope. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
It's good. It's coming through good. We're good.
You hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you great. Yeah.
As long as I'm close enough to the mic here.
Look good, feel good, play good. All the things. Well, thanks for stopping by. Your practice, Excelsior Chiropractic, that's the name, right?
That's right, yeah.
Boom, Excelsior Chiropractic. That's where I go now.
That's right.
Maybe, how long did it take you to get here? 30 seconds?
Yeah, 25, right?
Yeah, yeah, you beat the 30-second mark. Nice job. Dr. Hope of Excelsior Chiropractic. I found you through mutual friend, Max Alexander, and I think he found you because of the work that you did with Rocco. Does that sound about right?
That's right, yeah. He actually saw Rocco's piece on Instagram, I believe. And that's how he looked me up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll dig into that. Before we do, I'd love to introduce yourself to the audience. And today we're going to talk about all things the golf swing, talk about maybe like back pain and hip pain, the stuff that I've had. And really just like the goal of the podcast is to help people play golf longer, enjoy it. People who love the sport, play at a high level. So
Absolutely. Maybe
introduce yourself and then we'll just start ripping.
Sure. Dr. Mark Hope. I've been the owner of Excelsior Chiropractic since 2002. I started practicing in 2000. I know it's hard to believe I started practicing when I was 12. But here we are. I treat a lot of...
Congratulations, by the way. That's a long time to do something.
Yeah, it's awesome. Finally getting in the groove. No, it's amazing. Treat athletes of all sorts. A lot of hockey players, a lot of golfers. Obviously the unilateral swing, but love what I do. Grew up in Canada, playing golf, playing hockey, and then came to grad school here on Northwestern Chiropractic College.
And you never left?
This is home. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah. I love it. Well, we got a lot to talk about. My personal journey that brought me to you was probably, I don't know, maybe like fall of last year. I started getting a lot of that like lower back pain that I think a lot of golfers talk about. And I've seen plenty of chiropractors over the years, you know, generally, you know, love everyone that I've worked with. And one of the weird and kind of funny things about chiropractic work for someone like me that has done it for a long time is it's kind of like your dentist, like you're going to go like proximity to yourself until you find someone that you really love. And then you're always going to like travel and make that.
That's right.
I'm fortunate that I found somebody that's quite literally like I could walk to. And I didn't even know that you guys existed until I think it was Alex Gilbert, hopefully a listener of the pod, I don't know if he is, texted me. He's like, hey, you should check out Dr. Hope. I think he's like right by your house. And I Googled it and I'm like, that's what that building is. It's a chiropractic building. I've been driving by you guys for the better part of 3.5, almost 4 years now, and had no idea that it existed there. And so been having some like lower back pain, some issues with my hips. I couldn't go on a golf trip like towards the end of last season. And I came and saw you and kind of diagnosed it. And my first question I want to talk about is like this, you know, we've had the conversation a lot about like, is it lower back pain? What's it stemming from? Like, it sounds like things that golfers might think are an issue tends to actually be something else, right? Like
Absolutely. Mine
was kind of like pulling from the hip or coming from somewhere else. And so my first question to you, sorry for the long winded, is how, when you're talking with like golfers generally, and everybody has that like lower back pain, where does it actually come from? And how does the golf swing affect it?
Well, it comes from many sources, but anyone that's golfed long enough and serious enough has some sort of symptomatology with regards to their back, hip, pelvis, unless they swing right on one shot and left on the other shot, you know, because you're always swinging the same direction.
Sure.
Not necessarily the same way, but same direction.
Yeah.
So that's torquing your whole spine every time, same way, right? So unless you're going to do something to counteract that, you're going to see manifestations of your body in those unilateral positions. And that's where the injuries start to come, you know?
So then a guy like Rocco that comes to see you, and professional athletes in general, right? Like, I think they're at a, obviously they're at a different level, but I think the biggest thing is that they probably tax their bodies a lot more than maybe the occasional golfer, amateur, you know, person that plays sports, right? Like, they're doing it at the highest level. So they're probably training and doing things and just a lot more taxing on their own body. How do you, like, one, what was the stuff that Rocco talked about? I know as a doctor, you got like HIPAA stuff you can talk about, but in general, like when you're treating people at that level, what's the difference and what is it?
You'd be surprised. The golf is so unique as a professional sport because everyone is on their own. They're on an island, right? Some have bigger teams behind them to support what they do, but it's interesting. It's choose your own adventure for golfers. Rocco has had quite a history and he's happy with me sharing it because I've shared it on his podcast as well. And he shares a lot of it on social media because he wants other people to be helped naturally without cutting them up. He, you know, is one of the few people that he's won on tour in his 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and then 60s, which is extremely rare, you know. And he had surgery 30 some years ago on his back. You know, so that introduces a whole host of other issues because now you've got degenerative changes, different things like that. And he's seen hundreds, if not thousands, of different chiropractors. I've been able to take care of him now for, it's been 12 years. So it's really keeping it functional in the facet of the swing they do and their body type. So it's really unique to every person because everyone swings unique. You know, everyone's trying to mimic different swings, but it's unique to that person, to their physiology, to their mechanics, and then to the genetics of their spine, hips, and pelvis and what that can generate. And we try and maximize that and prevent injury by keeping the fluidity of those areas.
Yeah, so is it like today when I was getting adjusted, we kind of had the conversation about, you know, obviously everybody is different, but the strain that they probably put on certain areas of themselves due to whatever swing that they have. You talked to me a little bit about how, you know, like I had a pinch of my shoulder, right? And like right. once you fix that area or you like relieve it, you have to kind of retrain whatever that area is, whether it's the lower back or your hip or your shoulder or whatever it might be, to now do those movements you were doing before, but without that pain or without that pinch or without whatever is going on. And now I'm curious because I'm at this point that like my body feels good, but I'm about to go into a season, right? Or like a year where I'm going to be doing a lot of the same things I did last year. How do I not injure myself again or have some of the same things that came up before? And so it'd be helpful maybe to talk about, like, for someone like you that's quote unquote, you know, fixing a lot of these issues. There's also the maintenance and not only the maintenance, but getting better and like staying in there. And so I think that's probably something that a lot of golfers can relate to, is like they get short-term relief or like, you know, they do something, whether it's a massage or, you know, whatever right. type of therapy there might be. And like, they feel really good for maybe a couple days or a week or a round or two, but then it comes back. Right. So how do you prevent it from coming back?
Oh, it's easy. The more you are able to fix something in the swing that you do, and the more you swing with the new mechanics, the more it becomes yours. Think of it like most people know the concept of braces on your teeth. You know, you go in every month, they take that wire off, they crank it harder, right? Next month, they crank it harder. Well, over time, now your teeth are straight. Wonderful. You take the braces off. If you don't do anything, within 2 or 3 years, it's back to where you started. So you've got to either put a wire in there, you wear a retainer, something to support that. And over time, your body eventually starts to take that new positioning as normal. And it's no different with our spine, with our mechanics, and as that relates to the golf swing, whether it's a golf swing, whether it's hitting a puck, you know, with a hockey stick. So those things over time, as you continue to put it in that position, create movement intersegmentally in every joint in your body in the direction and maximizing that range of motion, that becomes normal. And then you do the proper strengthening that you've incorporated, I know we've talked about, into that, so that now that becomes new muscle memory within those new mechanics. And then over time, you don't have to do as much to sustain that, but you still, you know, depending on how much you're swinging, have to reverse that right swing or that left swing or what have you. Or you lose that range of motion. You lose some of that corrective positioning as well along the way.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I like the other things I want to talk about too, where I've noticed just, you know, at your specific, is it technically called a practice? Is that the right term?
It's a perfect, it's a practice.
Okay. Yeah. So at your practice, I've noticed a couple things that I've never necessarily done before. So the, I'm just going to call them like shock therapy things, like on the back, like the lower back and the upper back. Can you talk about that? And I'll just, to the listeners, imagine like four kind of like heating pads, almost like electromagnetic right. heating pads on you that kind of like stim, and your muscles almost shake a little bit and almost feels like they're weakening sure. them, so that when you get adjusted, it's easier to be adjusted. Is that
That's
right?
Correct.
And I want you to talk about it because it's something new I've never experienced.
So it's been around for a long time. It's a physical therapy modality called low volt stimulation. And what that's doing is we put that on the main muscle groups where I want to make the correction mechanically. The reason we do that before I treat you is to create a softening or tenderization, if you will, of the area surrounding, so I can create more movement, more specific movement. But then as those muscles come back from the fatigue state that it's creating with the heat synergistically with the tendonizing effect of the low volt stimulation, it then adheres to that and it actually supports that new positioning for a longer time. You know, if I were going cold, adjust it without it, it works, sure. Doesn't move as deeply, doesn't necessarily sustain that new position for as long going forward. So that gives you the opportunity then to benefit from that for a longer period, not only with your swing, but also the strengthening aspect of it.
Okay. Right? I follow. Yeah. So to unpack the big words, it's basically the heat and the shock are making it easier for you to get adjusted, but it's also making the recovery process for it to almost train itself back
sustains
faster,
it longer.
Better, stronger, longer.
Yeah. So I can accomplish, let's say we do it dry, if you will, without doing a prep work on it.
Just did me right now.
Yeah, totally. So we're probably 2 to 3 times more beneficial to add that extra 10 minutes of support of the muscle tissue, because our bones and pelvis, everything, it's not sitting in space, right? And so those muscles are all firing, all the tendons are firing to support that positioning. Well, to change that positioning, you've got to do something to unpack what is holding it there. And by doing that, that helps that. And what I do differently than quite a few people is creating the specificity and learning, okay, what is unique to you? And then as we get that pain free, okay, now let's look at how your swing may be unique to you and what we have to do to maximize your range of motion in each hinge of your swing, if you will.
Yeah. So then are we allowed to, if I want to, I can talk about me and you're able to talk about me, right?
Will you give me permission? No problem.
I don't
problem.
Know what all this the hippo stuff is.
Yeah. You just gave me permission. Perfect.
Okay. I just gave you permission. Yeah. All right. So I want to talk about me for a sec, because people that are listening are probably relatively familiar with, like, I've talked about my back pain, all my playing partners, I've talked about it a little bit. And like, if I rewind maybe, I don't know, let's say a year, like the end of the 2023 season, my hips were quite literally clicking in my swing. And
right.
I think when we talked about that, you were talking about kind of like the bone or whatever it was kind of rubbing on a joint socket. And when it was turning and twisting, that was kind of causing that clicking. And then the end of last year, I had done some like hip mobility stuff and things that I felt like could help, you know, with the hip clicking, but I might not have been maybe like a Band-Aid, and I kind of had like the lower back pain. And so when I came to you, right, I came to you with those kind of like two things,
right.
I think we did an X-ray.
Yes.
Does that sound right? So we did an X-ray. Somebody comes to you with the lower back pain, like myself, and like the hip clicking. What are you looking for? And I know we talked about my swing a little bit, but like what are the things that you're looking for and trying to diagnose? Because every golfer has some kind of like
pain
the older they get, right? So I'm curious, for people listening, somebody's going to say, you know, I have hip clicking or I have hip pain. I have back pain. I have upper back pain. What are the things that you're looking at and diagnosing? And then we can kind of talk about what we've done.
Really take the whole picture of what you need and what you want to do, right? So we look at one with the x-ray, the positioning of your spine. How is it morphed as a result of what you do every day? You know, you're not just golfing, you're sitting at a desk, you're doing other things. Okay, so where's that at now? Where do we need to get it to maximize your range of motion in a pain-free fashion to support, you know, further injury that is harder and harder to fix the longer it goes on? And so that's what I look at. And then I take that into account, what I can feel, what I can see muscle-wise. And then as you get better, then we'll look closer at your swing that you're changing every week and seeing how that incorporates with it, right? So that's what we're looking at. You know, that's what I look at.
Yeah, so then you'd once we've diagnosed it and now we're kind of into it, what is the, call it, routine maintenance that people go through, and like how often should they be relatively coming in, right? Like that's
it's a great question. Everyone's totally different. Like you hit the ball how many times a week?
500 to 1,000.
Right.
Somewhere in there.
So you're going to want to get adjusted probably every week to a week and a half, because you want to retrain that. You know, it's like a new swing thought. How many times do you have to hit the ball to retrain a swing? At least 1,000 times, right? Not that you need to be adjusted to that, but to maintain that integrity going forward, that's what I would look at, depending upon how many rounds you're doing, how much is practice, how much time you take in between your practice swings. You know, some people take 1 second. Pros, as you know, take 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, you know, to allow those muscles to calibrate so you're not just, you know, rapid firing and then hurting yourself. So yeah, for someone like you, probably every week or two, you want to keep it there and prevent injury. That's professional golfers I treat. That's what they do. They've got chiropractors on tour. They get adjusted 2 or 3 times in a tournament, sometimes in the middle of it, you know? So, and almost every professional golfer is being adjusted every week or two.
So this is, this will be interesting to talk about, because one of the concepts or themes that I've been vocal about the past year, and really just like anybody that plays the sport or follows along, knows that the game is trending in this direction of, like, you know, hit it long, hit right. it far,
swing
right?
Speed.
Like, right. yeah, swing speed. And like you watch these high schoolers, even these like middle schoolers that are hitting the ball 320, right? And like, you know, you could dive into mechanics of a swing and like how much they have to rotate and really use their back and like all of their muscles to hit the ball that far. You mentioned Will Zalatoris this morning is a really right. good example. And so in your world, right, like probably gets you a lot more people having to come see you. But like, let's talk about that for a second, because everybody that's listening wants to gain speed and they want to go through the training and all that stuff to hit the ball further. But everybody knows it comes with, you know, a price to your body. I mean, the second that you start interacting with the ground and you miss it a little bit and hit it fat, right, that kind of the reverb of that piece of steel that you're hitting into the ground now being in your back, or like a driver swing that you might pull a little something, one of your muscles, because you're swinging so fast and so hard. How has this changed, and how does it like change your job a little bit? Because it's got to make it, I would imagine, a little bit harder.
Oh yeah, significantly. I mean, you look, and I've talked with Rocco about this for a decade. You know, you watch his swing. He has done everything to minimize the torsion on his spine while maximizing his swing speed, you know, and he jokes his swing speed's not great, but like, you know, 60 he's 62 something. Years old.
Yeah.
I mean, but
just fine.
And he does whatever he wants with the ball. Right. And he's doing amazing, but you watch his setup, right? So there's a few things that you can do. You look at the kids, they're doing stack and low to their spine, reverse C, right? And you're going to, over time, you do nothing to that swing or nothing to maintain the integrity of your spine. That disc will be herniated without question. That's what happened to Zalatoris. You look at Scottie Scheffler, perfect example. You know, to generate swing speed, you can't take all that torsion with your feet planted on the ground. Well, when he hits the ball, both his feet are off the ground. That reduces any mechanical torsion that's limiting that reagent on the spine, right? And a lot of those guys, their feet are off the ground. That's the reasoning. Only way you can generate that speed without herniating a disc on that first swing is to not turn it all in the spine, but turn it in your legs, your feet, your ankles, or air, right? So it's all those different aspects.
Well, so then let's talk about like a Zalatoris swing for a second, because I would consider, you know, maybe before his injury or even now, like he has what you would consider a modern swing, right? Right. Like a right. swing that a lot of people use because, you know, he's a great example of a guy that, you know, is 160 pounds soaking wet. I know he put on a lot of muscle this offseason, but let's talk about like previous Will Zalatoris.
Right, right.
You know, not the biggest guy, and he still hits it really far, and he's doing that, you know, by the types of movements in his swing.
Sure.
And so, you know, for the people that aren't maybe aliens like Scottie Scheffler or like, you know, have learned all this stuff over the years, like a Rocco, the people that still have the modern swing, what are the things, you know, that they can do to change it or like to not put as much strain on their body?
Yeah. Well, the number one thing would at least get it treated properly, you know, mobilize those joints in a specific pattern so that there isn't what's called a fixation. When two or three vertebrae or your pelvis and hips stop moving fully and you're still trying to crank it through that range of motion, that's when bad things happen. If there's a fluidity there, less is going to happen there. And then, you know, as you've talked with other people on your show, you want to strengthen that area, right? In explosive patterns and in ways that get that strength better through a swing pattern, right? So those two things is what people can do. Core strength, I mean, that's such a junk term, but you know, you work on that as well, but also make sure every joint moves independently with somebody that knows how to evaluate that properly so that even if they maintain that same swing, that same modern swing, as you said, the injury opportunity is far, far less.
Yeah, so I'd like to think that the, you know, I don't know how much value we provide to our listeners. I like to think it's a little bit. Andy and I talk all the time about like, you know, we're just a couple guys that are like going through this journey to get as the best we can at the game and like sharing with everybody the mistakes, but also the great things that we've done to get there. Right. Like
right.
if I could write a book and go back over the last 5 years and talk about the shit that I did, that didn't work, that it probably could have saved me like 3 months and all this stuff. Right. Like I wish I could do that. So part of this is like sharing this journey with people. And, you know, I think people listen to kind of find those, you know, nuggets that they can apply to their game or their life or their way of thinking to ultimately get better at the sport or whatever they have. And so my question is, what are the things that people can do on their own? So you mentioned core strength, like maybe what are some of those moves that people can do, or like those folks that are in the gym or, you know, just doing stuff with their body, like what do you suggest as somebody that, you know, as a practice helps professional golfers and amateur golfers like myself? Like, what do you suggest that people do to get themselves in a good spot so that they don't injure themselves? Is it just more like, is it more mobility? Is it more core strength? Is it all the above? Like,
it's all the above. I mean, but to keep it simple is one, just do something athletically beyond swinging a club, right? Movement of any kind, you know, light cardio. You have to do some sort of resistance training, whether it's bands, whether it's weights, whether it's...
Yeah, so when you say resistance, just to clarify, you mean like, yeah, a band is a good example. Like when you're pulling apart a band, like you're resisting against the force that's
right
pulling or pushing somewhere.
Yeah, so you're getting a range of motion with resistance, right? Whether, you know...
Yeah, you can't just swing a club freely and expect that that's going to change anything.
Correct. Okay. Kettlebell, whatever. But, you know, any of those things to support what you're trying to generate and help prevent injury. Anything you lock muscles around an area, your chances of injury are far less, you know, as long as you have good motion in those joints. So, you know, it's there's a lot, but the main thing is just move. You know, don't just go out with a case of beer and, you know, try and swing all day long. Yeah, there's going to be problems, right? So
I'm sure there's some people that try and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've all done that, yeah. Right? And it's fun.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because, like, some people will say, you know, 3 to 4 beers, that's when they find their, like, groove of, like, being, you know, loose and smooth. And they play like that.
I'm no different.
Best.
Right. I mean, look at John Daly, won the British Open, you know, drinking vodka. Diet Cokes.
Yeah, smoking cigarettes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so, what alcohol does obviously limits the 6 inches between your ears, right? You get that inhibition, but you also get from beer, the hops and beer, believe it or not, is a muscle relaxant. So your muscles are looser. So people call it swing lube, whatever they call it, but it's a real thing. You actually generate a slightly more range of motion with that. I mean, not that that's suggested, but that's where people are getting that from, right?
Yeah, you're not going to sit here and tell everybody to go, you know, get wasted on the golf course.
Yeah, go hammer a couple beers before you hit the first hole, you know, at 7 in the morning. Not really cool. But
yeah. Well, but, so I want to talk about, so the professionals that you do treat, what's the right way to ask this? Like, what's different from them than amateurs? Like, is there something you see in their bodies that's different? And I know I asked earlier about, like, you know, they obviously play more, so they got to get, you know, treated more. They got all this stuff is in higher volume, but for people that like want to get to the next level, I always think golf is a very interesting sport, right? Because like you said, one, you're on your own, but I always tell the analogy or make the analogy of like, there's no position in golf. Like everyone's just a golfer. They got to do the five facets of the game really good. You got to drive, you got iron, you got putt, chip, and you got to be really good with your mental game. Do you see anything with the professional golfers that sticks out to you in terms of like, what's really good about them? You know, maybe it's their spine or mobility, because people will look at a John Daly and be like, he's one of the most gifted golfers of all time, and he looks like John Daly, right?
Right.
And then you got the guys that are, you know, like Rory McIlroy, who's, you know, 5'8", but he's built like super Bestman. Fit, and, right? And so it's just these completely different body types. I'm so fascinated by like the people at this level, like what's different about them than
the difference. The difference to me is not physical, because you look at golfers, that's the unique thing. You see every body type, right? They're all trying to morph into the same thing now, clearly. But it's the 6 inches between your ears. You know, it's the determination they have. Obviously, there's some God-given talent that goes with that, but it's really your mental toughness. I mean, and I think we learned a lot with Tiger taking the game to where it is now. It comes down to your determination, how badly you want it, and then what genetic physiology and
makeup
you have, right? And what you can do with it, with your brain. I think that's the biggest thing, and how determined you are. And I think that, you know, you can take that in any professional sport to some degree. But, you know, you look at a soccer player, you can stack 99% of them. They all kind of look the same body type. You don't see a whole lot of difference there. Hockey's becoming more the same, too.
Is it like all this lower body, like they've all got quads the size of like Saquon Barkley's?
They do, but they all look like soccer players now, right? They're not bulking up. It's all about flexibility. Same with golfers, right? You don't see huge bulk. You need a combination of strength, flexibility, fluidity, and then put that together with the mental toughness, and put that together with the brain, the determination, and then the talent you're given. You know, all those things. But body types, they're all over the board, you know? I think the biggest thing is the earlier you learn a swing, the better your opportunity of having better or longer swing. You know, if you start picking up a golf club at 30, there's no way you're going to be able to turn your back like Zalatoris. Yeah. There you aren't. But if you start at 8, absolutely, you can get there, you know, but it's going to take time, you know, because those joints have to grow with that range. Sure. Once they've become more solidified, it's very difficult to get there.
It's probably something that a lot of amateur golfers, like, almost, I'll just use the word struggle with maybe a little bit, is I think a lot of people, you know, if you didn't play in high school, right, like you probably didn't pick up the hobby until your 20s or 30s, or maybe some people got into it because of like their profession. A lot of people golf, or, you know, after COVID, like it seemed like everybody and their mother started to play golf, or at least like become interested in it.
Right.
And so like, how do you train your body quicker to get used to those movements? Because like for me, when I was learning the golf swing, there was a lot of it that I had never like done it before, you know, like I didn't know like what all the different, like the take backs and like the angles of your wrists and all this stuff. And like my upper body flexibility was like not there at all. I mean, my turn was nowhere near what it is now. And that's obviously a, you know, getting in the gym and doing, call it, you know, golf specific type workouts. Right. But like, you know, how do you suggest people try and almost like retrain those movements in the body to be able to do the things they want to and whatever sport it is? Because I think people struggle with that.
Yeah, you got to find a great coach, and you got to be determined enough to understand that your body's not going to be like a textbook. Not everyone's going to be able to swing how you see it or how you want it, you know, and many of the old school golfers say, swing your own swing. There's a lot to that if you know the mechanics, because it all comes down to, it doesn't matter what it looks like in the takeaway up top, it's how square you are when you hit the ball. And they're, you know, they're how much you can reproduce that, right? And so, long story short, it's just, I think, get a good teacher to learn the mechanics and then go with it yourself. Then do that for 4 or 5 months, then go back to that teacher and then see where you're at and tweak things. And I think that's what you do, just from what you've told me, rather than having a teacher every week. You know, we don't play enough, most amateurs anyway, to warrant that, right? And so then slowly work on it. And it's, you got to just be committed to it, how many thousands of balls you want to hit, right?
Yeah,
you know, so
that's the hard part. I mean, I fully committed, right, when I effectively put this simulator in here and like quit playing broom ball and recreational basketball, and I was like, you know, the two nights a week that I play whatever, I'm gonna start hitting golf balls, and like on Saturdays, instead of going out on the lake, I'm gonna go play golf. Like, I fully committed to it, and it's I get that not everybody can do that. And so it's trying to share the things that, okay, some people I think just have to look in themselves in the mirror. Like, I got so many buddies, man, that I'll go play golf with, and they'll be like, dude, why am I not making like putts? Like, I need to tweak this or do this. And I'll be the first person to raise my hand and say like, yeah, equipment makes a big change. Like, I like to tweak stuff sometimes, right? Just like looking at something different. But the reality is, I'm like, dude, for like, you don't practice and you play twice a month, you're actually pretty good for like,
right,
only playing twice
a month. You're keeping it under 90, yeah, right?
The fact that you like three putt once today and you play twice a month, like, you're doing just fine. And right. So it's like, it's almost like this, people have to realize how difficult the sport is. I think for a lot of people that like grew up playing sports, they're just used to being inherently like good at whatever it was that they played. Like, they feel like they could pick up a basketball and make a free throw, and then they try golf, and it's like you're so far and away from just being average at the sport if you've never tried it before, just because of how difficult it is and all the different things that you have to do with it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, golf's, that's what makes it amazing. Golf's unique in that, you know, if you're a good hockey player, you're good most of the time, right? Yeah, you might have an off day, but whereas golf, you can be a great golfer and you can be horseshit the next day, you know, and you don't see that in any other sport. And that's where it really plays with you physically, mentally, all of it. And that's what makes it great too, though, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to do a 180, but I do want to ask, like, as we kind of wrap up, I almost want to plug chiropractic work as a whole. A lot of people I've talked to and tell them what I do, they'll say something along the lines of like, oh, you know, I don't believe in going to the chiropractor, or like, oh yeah, you know, I'll get massages instead, or I'll do like something else, like physical, I don't know. There's a million different things out there, right?
Sure, absolutely.
For me, like, I've found the most success in chiropractic work, and I'm not smart enough to communicate the why.
Sure.
And so I'm hoping you can help me, like, on this podcast tonight, like, communicate the why. And like, when I try to, I always say, like, my analogy is just, you're going to feel better when everything's lined up like where it's supposed to be, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of people say like, yeah, my body will eventually like get back to there. I don't know if that's true or not. It's just like what people say. And so I kind of want to just have the conversation about like why chiropractic work, like why it's important. And then maybe you've heard from people like say they don't necessarily like believe in it and kind of like talk about, you know, like... I just want to talk about that for a second, because I've never really talked about it out loud.
Yeah, sure. No, chiropractic's so unique, and I'll be the first to admit, every profession has this. There are a lot of them that aren't great. I mean, I'll be honest, a lot of them bastardize it, right?
When you say a lot, like, you mean practices or chiropractors in general?
Yeah, they don't take the time to uniquely treat somebody in the specificity that's required for their body type and their activities. But when it's done properly, it's really a thing of beauty. Right. So what I tell people is, yeah, you don't believe in chiropractic. That's cool. Some people don't believe the world's round. Some people don't believe in gravity. It's fine. It's pure anatomy. And more than anything, you know, you talk about pain, you talk about it feels better. It's come down to now with professional athletes. One, it prevents injury. Two, it increases your performance because of the boost it gives to your spine and nervous system. So there's a reason people get adjusted, regularly that play at a high level, no matter what sport they're playing, including racehorses. You know, you look at them, there is no placebo effect. There's nothing. And they're adjusted probably more than most human athletes because it increases how their muscles fire.
Not to mention how valuable they are. So there's got to be something behind
there's that too. But I'm telling you, the amount of studies that show the increased muscle tone, activity, proprioception, brain functionability with chiropractic care is incredible. It's not just pain. It's actually much, much more than that. And it's that kind of specificity of increasing your peak performance why most people do it now at a high level. I don't know if that answers the question, but it's more than just like, I feel better. It's like, you can't explain why you feel better, but you feel different if you got adjusted and everything is in place and functioning properly when you're hitting the golf ball versus not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cause I mean, like transparent, like I'm not a doctor. Like you go by Dr. Hope for a reason, like you're a doctor. And so like when I, you know, talk with people, I always have the conversation of like, I've been doing chiropractic work for years. Cause it's just like, it gets my body feeling good. And a lot of the people that don't see a chiropractor, they always say like, yeah, it's just not for me. Or like, I've tried it. It's not for me. And I never really, like, it's hard when you don't understand that, right? Like, I've never understood that feeling because whenever I get adjusted, I always feel better. And so it's like, it's hard for me to relate to that. And I'll usually tell them like, well, have you tried, you know, XYZ or done this? And like, so, you know, for anybody, you know, listening, like I always want to not only provide the value, but also like the backing for why it works. Like, okay, why am I playing a mini driver now? Well, I can tell you because I don't hit a 3-wood anymore off the deck because I hit my driver so far that I don't need a 3-wood, and a mini driver has a bigger face. So it's easier to hit off of like a tee. And they go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Why do you see a chiropractor? And I go, I don't know, because I feel better after.
Because I hit it straighter and I don't get hurt.
Well, yeah, but yeah, it's like, I feel better after. And so I'm trying to help people like understand, you know, and that makes sense. And it, ultimately what I go back to, Mark, is like, it's the same conversation I have with equipment when it comes to golf, which is something that I know, which is if the pros aren't doing it, it doesn't work, or like it's not there yet, right? Like,
correct.
Don't play a ball that the pros don't play because it's probably not very good.
It's not good enough.
So if all the pros, and we're not even talking golf, we're talking like every other sport, like there's a reason they all have PTs and chiro designed for teams. Like there must be something behind it. And like, that's kind of good enough for me. Like I don't spend millions of dollars on my health like LeBron and Tom Brady do, but you know, they do and they see chiropractors. So
yeah, I mean, I've been educated by some of the best in the chiropractic business, right? The chiropractor who treated Tiger Woods through all the years, he kind of revolutionized caring for your body in a way that's different than ever has been done before in golf.
Self-care is big now, just in general.
Yeah, and it's awesome. You know, when I started in practice in 2000, it's a lot different than it is now. Like all athletes and the care they do and the coaching and the practice and how dialed in specific movements is, it's really unbelievable. You look at the kids coming out now that can golf. I mean, they've got a whole team behind them already. They've all got a chiropractor. They've all got a physical therapist, personal trainer, coach, all of it. I mean,
there's a 17-year-old on the PGA Tour right now shooting in the 60s. It blows my mind.
It's ridiculous.
17 years old, man.
It's ridiculous.
What were you doing at 17? Well, you said you were practicing since you're 12. Were you practicing?
You know,
17.
No, I wasn't. I was in Canada. You know, so just, up there, all we do is drink beer
around.
And play hockey, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's just wild to be like, I saw that. I'm like, 17 years old. Dude, that's nuts. He's foregoing college, just playing. He's just that good at the game and hits it that far already. And he made, I think it was 9 birdies in a row. I saw he made in like 10 of 12 holes, just at the TPC West this last weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, it's phenomenal stuff. So,
But I think like going back, I mean, the biggest thing is if people will just be open to the fact that golf, especially, you got to care for your body. So have someone look at what you are, where you're at, and try and get it a little better. You know, you got to look at within your own mind, what are your goals? Like, do you just want to be a bogey golfer? Fine, stick with that. And not herniated disc? Well, you still got to do something so you don't. If you want to be a scratch golfer, it takes a different amount of determination, different amount of fire and things behind you to get there, right?
So. Yeah. Well, I can speak from experience. I mean, it takes a lot. And this is one big portion of it for me. And like, I've had the combo with Andy a bunch that, you know, I'm also at that age where I play with guys who I've had on the podcast, Dave Carruthers, Rick Helling, these guys that are in their, you know, 50s and 60s, and they're still hitting the ball super far and putting up really low scores. I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I want to be that. Like, I want to be 50 years old shooting even par and, like, enjoying the game and all this stuff. And, you know, I think this is a big part of it, like taking care of your body. So
for sure. The other thing that we didn't talk about, too, definitely taking care of your body. Something that's really changed I've seen in probably the last 5 years is giving yourself a rest.
Well, you like know? Sleep and recovery.
No,
and
like not picking up a golf club for like a week.
Oh, see, I haven't done that yet.
And just occasionally stepping back, regroup, give your body a chance to recalibrate. Every professional sport, they do that. It's interesting. Golfers are no different. You know, take a few days off, you know, once every 6-8 weeks, you know, and allow your body to fully recover and then go back to it. And you'd be surprised, you know,
yeah,
the benefit that has. That's the biggest thing I've seen, because overtraining is an issue in anything we do.
Yeah. I had a convo with my friend, a friend of the pod. He's been on a couple times now, Jared Ludeman. We do a lot of like golf DraftKings lineups and all this stuff. And we were just having the combo the other day about like this year has been really hard to figure out like when the quote unquote studs are going to play well. And like, I think a lot of people would generally consider a guy like, you know, Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas or like Cam Young, kind of like these big names people know.
Yeah.
Not performing at the level that they used to. And he asked my opinion why. And you know, I watch a decent amount of golf. I'm not like an every, you know, weekend type guy, but like I watch enough and I, you know, have a podcast, so I should probably know a little bit about it. And as I've played more, I feel like I can relate to the, you know, pro golfers and at least stuff that they go through a little bit more just because I play the game a lot. And I feel like what's happened is in a sport that you're always chasing perfection, you know, their best was like the top of the game, right? Like Jordan Spieth won the Masters. He was like, if he wasn't number one, he was up there and had like this 2-3 year stretch. You can say the same thing about Justin Thomas. But the problem is it's never good enough, right? Like right. Number one is never good enough. And they're always trying to find something a little bit better. And I think in the pursuit of finding a little bit better than your best, it becomes a detriment. And so, you know, like they might be really, really good at a bunch of stuff, but suck at chipping, and like they throw everything else out the door and try and get better at chipping, and now they're not as good at the other things. And so it like, it's just really interesting to think about this concept of like, what's your peak and mm-hmm. how can you get there? And let's say you do get there, like trying to get better than that and you can't, and it just becomes a detriment to your game and you kind of like fall back a little bit.
Well, and then that's your litmus test, right? And if you're not getting there, then it breaks you down. Right.
Yeah. Or and maybe you're there and you just don't know it. And like, mm-hmm. I think back to Jordan Spieth. I'm like, dude, he was there. Like, the guy was so good. And it, like, I don't know if it's mental. I know it was part of like all this, you know, practice or trying to change stuff that kind of brought him down a little bit. But it seems to happen with a lot of golfers where they have this 2-3 year window. I think we're seeing it with Scottie Scheffler. And I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to suck in a year from now, right?
Right.
But
right.
Like he's in his prime, and I hope that he continues. Like, in I think the reason why is he owns his swing, that weird swing that everybody goes, how the hell does he do that? Mm-hmm. Nobody breaks down his swing and is like, oh, he doesn't rotate enough or do this.
Right.
And it looks wonky, and he just makes it work, and he makes it work to perfection. And it's like, that's his peak.
Yeah, and I think with all of that, it's a mental fatigue. It's a physical fatigue, and it's a grind for these guys on tour. Like, yeah, you're like, well, where's he been for 3 weeks? You know, they have families, they have lives too. And the amount of practice time these guys put in, not only at the range, at the chiropractor, at the gym, at the trainer, at the, you know, the psychologist, sport coaching.
There's no off season either.
It's crazy. And so over time, I mean, it starts to chip at them and wear at them. Right. And you lose that edge a little bit too. Right. And the pressure they have, we can't even imagine the pressure they have.
You know? The Netflix series, did you watch The Full Swing? Yeah. That opened up, I think, a lot of people's eyes to the game and just like how it really is a different sport where it's really the top 50. I know there's 120 guys, but like it's really the top 50 that kind of, you know, get the notoriety and all these cool deals and all this stuff. People forget about golfers 51 through 120 that quite literally are on the road 5 to 6 days a week, And if they don't make the cut, they lose money for the week at their job. That's not like a lot of sports and a lot just jobs in general. It's not like that. You don't like go and hope that like you make your bonus. And if you don't, like, yeah, you're shit out of luck. Like, that's golf. I mean, you could go a month or two without making a check. You're flying all around and yeah, you're losing money. Yeah.
Because you got to pay for the entry fee. You got to pay for fly there.
Caddy,
yeah, hotel, all of it. Yeah. And it's, you know, and you don't talk about the guys 120 to 300.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Those guys, it's a grind, you know, because I treat a few patients that were on the semi-pro tour, right on the edge of it, and just a phenomenal athletes, phenomenal golfers and people, and just couldn't crack it. And it's getting tougher and tougher. Like, you look at the competition out there, and it's
300 people in the world thin. Are the ones that make a living off of this sport. It's not normal.
No, it's not.
It's a different level, man. Yeah, it really is.
And that's where I feel... When you ask about what's the difference, I think it's the 6 inches between your ears more than anything, because obviously you need God-given talent, but it's how can you handle pressure? Let's look at the difference in quarterbacks over the last couple weeks, right? You got Darnold versus in the playoffs versus the guy from Washington. One's cool as a cucumber. The other one looks like, I mean...
Yeah.
He might have had cocaine.
It's a different level.
You know, like, So, and that's.
And that guy won 14 games in the NFL, by the way. Like,
right.
Exactly. I get the Darnold slander, but like, and I'm a Packer fan, but I'm also a real, like, the guy won 14 games and he beat a lot of really good teams and did a lot of, like, you know, game winning comebacks and drives and blew out some really good teams, too. It's just playoffs is different, man. That's what you pay those quarterbacks for.
And that's what, same with golf, right? It's the pressure, right?
Yeah.
They can all make it under no pressure.
Yeah.
But when, you know, a putt, 8 foot putt for $1 million, it's a little different.
It is a little bit different.
You know, like, you know, I sweat over 10 bucks. You know.
Yeah, I get it. Well, I appreciate you coming out. Again, for those that want to find you, Excelsior Chiropractic, I like to say, if you know where Maynard's is, you're pretty damn close. Like,
you turn right around it.
Yeah. So if you know where Maynard's is, check out you. I don't know if that's the best. Like, call, make an appointment. You guys do. Like, what's the best process or someone that wants to, like, is new, wants to come see you?
Oh, you call. You can text the main number. Anything, you know. Email, you know.
You got great people there, too, man. They're so helpful. They're awesome.
I've got an A team, and it doesn't come easily. There's a lot of training. You know, the doctors I have a pleasure of working with every day, Dr. Mitch Malone and Dr. Mallory Dombrock, they make me look good, you know, so, and everyone that supports me, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fun place to go. I look forward to it every day.
Yeah.
You know, it really
you got a good
fun.
Setup. I like going in there. It's close. It's great. So I appreciate everything that you're doing. Obviously, I'll be a long customer for a while now because I don't plan on stopping playing the sport, and it sounds like for how much I play, I at least got to be in like once every week or two. So
we'll keep you going, you know, till you're 60, so you shoot your age.
Yeah, that'd be a sweet goal. I saw Bernard Langer just did that again, but he's doing it on an actual tour. So
that guy's
a little different. Yeah, he is. Well, thank you very much for coming.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
We'll go watch the Irish hopefully win this game here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's right.
Thanks, Doc.